That was a clock ticking in case you didn't know what that was. That's going to be our next series. It was going to start next week, but what I'm doing today is going to be a two-parter, so that's throwing it one more week behind. But trusting God's timing in our life is major in having a great life and understanding what's happening in our lives. Of course, I know you get tired of hearing this, but it's not for you. It's for people who watch it online who've never heard it, that if you want to find this sermon or this whole series or 1,000 other sermons and hundreds more series online, anything you want to study online is at www.lifegatechurch.com. You can go there and find anything nearly you want. If you're looking for us on Facebook, it's LifeGate, two words, LifeGate Church. Like us and it'll be good. Okay. We're talking about our series, and our series is called Smile, Staying Positive When negative things are happening in your life. And we've learned that God can only bless the positive things in life. He can't bless us when we're talking about people. He can't bless us when we're angry. He can't bless us when we're doing the negative things in life. He can't bless us when we've turned our back on Him and gotten angry with God. He can't bless us. So it's a major thing to stay positive. And we've looked at a lot of things. This is the ninth sermon, a lesson that we've done on this. And today what I want to talk about is smile, staying positive when I have no or low self-worth. So many people struggle with this. How in the world can you stay positive in life when you feel so worthless? How can you have the blessings of God in life when you're so negative about yourself? So many people go through life intimidated. They feel like they're inferior. They go through life feeling that everyone else is brighter than them. When they walk in the room, they bring a darkness into the room. They don't feel like they bring anything to the party. People want to get away from them. They feel unattractive. They don't feel attractive at all. You know, they may feel like they look okay, but no one's attracted to their lives. In fact, they feel like they repulse people and push people away from them. They feel like have no talents, nothing to really give to the party, you know, nothing to give to life. They feel so weak, they don't feel like they have any strength whatsoever. Feel second class. How do you smile and be happy in life and stay positive when you feel like you're a second class person? You know, they feel like they're worthless, they have no worth. They go through life feeling like they have no assets, nothing to really draw from in their life that'll support them and take them through life. They feel like they have made so many mistakes, God can't even forgive them. And people certainly can't. They put everyone else on a pedestal, but then they look down at themselves. How can you stay happy when this is how you're approaching and going through life? You see, it is good. It's a great thing to celebrate the accomplishments and the achievements and the successes of others. But you are to be celebrated. Said, you are bright. And I want to tell you this today. See, I want you to know that you do have talents. You are attractive. I want to show you. People are attracted to you because why? You're in Christ. And he said, I'll draw all men unto me. And if you're in him, then you're attractive. You are strong. And it's not physical strength that's going to make your life and change your life and cause you to be successful in life. Your muscle mass has nothing to do with it. It's the strength inside of you. And I want to talk about this. I want you to understand what an amazing person that you are. You're not second class. You are first class. You're a child of the one true King. Right? That immediately puts you into first class. You're a child of God. You are worthy. You do have worth. You do. You have assets that are your assets and that will go with you the rest of your days that is already in you. I want to show you this today. And do you think that the mistakes you made caught God off guard? Do you think they surprised God? No, he would have rather you not done the mistake. But your mistake does not determine your destiny. God determines your destiny. Now, you can go the long way around. You know, you can go through all this stuff getting there. But your mistakes does not catch God off guard. See, what I want you to see today is that within you, there's greatness. You are great. I hear people say, you know, she's so beautiful. She's so eloquent, elegant. You know, I hear people say, he's so handsome. He's so talented. They're so brilliant. And that's good that we recognize the gifts and the talents and the beauties of other people. But listen, I want you to know, you can't not recognize yours. You can't recognize that you're not something special. That God has put some eternal things inside of you that bring the greatness out of you. See, don't get caught up into looking at other people and their gifts and their talents and their abilities and not recognizing yours. See, there's something inside of each one of us that we can do better than just about anybody we know. There's something that you can do probably better than anybody in this room. This is how God works this thing out. He puts us all together. I use my talent, you use yours. The Bible talks about the body of Christ, how we help one another, we draw from one another. And there's something that you bring to the party. There's something that you specifically bring to the body of Christ. So don't recognize the abilities of others and not see how important you are. Don't get caught up into that. Don't idolize people. See, if we've learned anything from celebrities and making people idols, we've learned that they have faults. They have failures and they have weaknesses. And most of those are far greater than yours. I mean, just think about that, right? And when you begin to idolize people, you're bringing out the measuring rod and you feel like you come up short. Don't fall into that trap. See, there's greatness in you. There is something great for you to do. You are great. And I want to really show you this today. We've got to be confident in ourselves, who we are and what we can do. We've got to know what's inside of us, what God has placed there and what we're really good at. And once we get that, that's what's going to make us great. I heard a story about a man and his wife. They were on a float in a parade. He was the mayor of the town. And as they were going down Main Street, they were waving at people in the crowd. You know, they were waving. And so they saw this one man. And this man was at one time his wife's fiance. And so they waved at him. Now, this man now owns and runs a gas station, a local gas station in town. So as they wave at him, he kind of whispers to her, and says, aren't you happy you didn't marry him? You'd be working at a gas station. She looks back at him and she says to him, she says, if I had married him, he would be the mayor. She's confident. She can make her man better. She knew who she was and she was proud of who she was and she could do it. And this is how God wants us to be. God wants us to be confident in who we are. He wants us to be able to know and have confidence in us, in ourselves. And it's a gift of God into you that you have so many talents and so many gifts in your life. You are special. You are special. Now, the Bible tells us about a guy named Gideon. It's in Judges chapter 6 and beginning at verse 12, if you want to turn there in your Bible and read along with us. It'll be on the screens, of course, as well. But his name is Gideon. Now, Gideon struggled with self-worth. We meet Gideon at a time when the people of God were oppressed by a people called the Midianites. And they had oppressed and depressed the people of God. And we find Gideon in a hole, as it were. He's in a wine press. What a wine press was a hole dug, and then they would rock it up and mortar it up and top and bottom and the floor, and then they would dump grapes in there, and they'd stomp on the grapes and excrete the juice and then throw all the skin and the seeds away and use the grape juice to make wine. But he wasn't doing the wine thing, but he was down in this hole. And what he was doing is he had grain that he was beating out for flour. He was making some flour so he could exist. He was hiding from the world. He's down in there and he's beating this out. And this is where we find him. And the angel of the Lord shows up. Now, the angel of the Lord is a Christophany. Now, what a Christophany is an appearance of Christ in the Old Testament. Now, as we read through these verses, I hope I get to show you and point it out to you. He's called the angel of the Lord. He's called Sir and he's called Lord. So it is a Christophany. And I want you to see what God has to say to Gideon, this person who's struggling with self-worth. And we read it in Judges 6:12. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, I'm reading from the King James Version, of course, because it uses this word that I want to hammer on today. The Lord is with thee. He says, the Lord is with thee. Thou mighty man of valor. Okay, now you get the picture, right? He's down in a hole. He's hiding from the world. He's just trying to beat him out a little flour so he can survive. And the angel of the Lord addresses him as a mighty man of valor. Now, this word valor here, I want you to see the definition of it. And this is how the King James spells it. It spells it V-A-L-O-U-R. That's not how we spell it, but this is how the King James spells it. I just wanted you to know I didn't have a typo here. Okay? So what it means is value. It means resources. It means overcomer. It means wealth, strength, force, and virtue. So what he said to this guy hiding in a hole is, you mighty man of valor, you person with this treasure inside of you, you person has access to all of these attributes and all these assets. Hello to you. Now, it's so interesting because now Gideon begins to talk back to the angel of the Lord and to the Lord. And here's what Gideon says. Next verse. But sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, or if the Lord is with me, why has all this happened to us? Why has all this happened to me? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has what? The Lord has abandoned us. The Lord has abandoned me and put us in the hand of Midian. Now we're going to see this shortly. The next verse we read, it'll be very obvious that Gideon struggles severely with self-worth. He will. But what I want to point out right here is, see, what he's saying right off the bat is the Midianites are better than me, better than us. They're stronger than us. They've got more resources than we've got. They've got more money. They've got more wealth than we have. You know, God must love them better because he's abandoned us. He's abandoned me. Look at me. I'm in this hole. I'm worthless. I don't have any worth. How can the Lord be with me? Be with us. See, what he's saying is God doesn't love me like he loves others. Now, here's what I'm getting at is people who really struggle in self-worth, you'll always find this. They feel others are more blessed than them. That God must love them better. God has blessed them better. They've got more resources. They've got more abilities. They've got more talents. They get the blessings of God. Now, they may not say it that God has abandoned me, but they sort of feel that way. And if you struggle with self-worth, you sort of wonder that sometimes. Why is everybody else blessed and I'm not blessed? God has abandoned me. He doesn't love me. No, I want you to hear me now. I want you to hear me. No, it's not that God has abandoned you. It's not that God doesn't love you. God loves you as much as he loves anybody else. He is no respecter of person. That's not the problem. The reason that some people appear to be so much blessed than others is that they have reached into their valor. They have accessed the valor that's inside of them. They have come to an understanding of what God has deposited inside of them. They see their value. Valor, value. They understand they're of value. You don't. They understand that they have resources within them that can produce resources without of them on the outside. But the resources they have on the inside, they know that and they're tapped into those things. They produce blessings in their life. They understand that they are people of worth. They have some worth that they can bring, that they can give to others. See, if you struggle with your self-worth, you don't feel that way. It's not that God doesn't love you. It's that you struggle with your valor, the treasure that God has put inside of you. You feel you don't have strength. And again, strength is not something external. Your strength to change your life, to change your world, to change your family, your strength comes from within you. It won't happen just with your muscle strength, with your muscle mass. That's not going to change your life. What's going to change your life is the strength from within that God gives you. You are a force. You know, I was thinking about this little Mother Teresa, you know, little bitty woman, but such a force. You don't realize you are a force. When you struggle with your self-worth, you don't realize the force you are and can be. You don't realize that you are an overcomer. You're not being an overcomer, but you are one. You don't realize that inside of you is virtue, pure power. You don't realize the pure power that God has already deposited inside of you. See, and until you get that, you're going to feel abandoned. Until you find out and figure out that everything that you need to have the best life you can possibly have is inside of you. So people, number one, that struggle with self-worth feel that God's abandoned them. That he's blessed others and others are more blessed than you. No. It's not an issue of love. It's an issue of you tapping into your worth. It's an issue of you tapping into your valor. You are a man of valor. You are a woman of valor. You are powerful. And there's so much deposited right inside of you. So they're having this conversation, the Lord and Gideon. So the Lord responds back to Gideon and he says this. In verse 14, next verse. Now he's the Lord, so this is a Christophany. The Lord turned to him and said, now watch this, you got to get this. Go in the what? Read that out loud. Go in the strength you have. Not the strength I'll give you, but in the strength you already have. It's already in you. You have just not tapped into it. You're not utilizing your valor. It is there. Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Is this not what I want you to do? Go in the strength you have. I'm sending you. But Lord, Gideon asked, how can I save Israel? How can I do what you really want me to do? How can I do the potential that I have? How can I do? Now this is extremely important what I'm about to read to you. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family. Now, while that's up there, I want you to tell me, what is Gideon's excuse for not becoming great? What is Gideon's excuse for not utilizing the potential that's within him? Family. My ancestors. My family. Now hold on to that because I'm coming back to it in just a few minutes. So here's Gideon. He has all this treasure of gifts and valor that's within him. But he's walking around, he's down in the hole, and he won't hold his head up. He feels worthless and he's blaming his family. You know, listen, I want to be the angel of the Lord for you today. I want to tell you something. Listen to me. Inside of you, there is already everything you need to be successful. Inside of you, there is greatness. Inside of you is the ability to do something better than most anybody in this room. And it's tapping into that will make you great. It's tapping into your valor. Once you tap in to the value that you are, and you tap in to the resources that you have, you tap in to the overcomer that you are, you tap in to the strength that you already have. When you realize the force you are and the virtue, the pure power that's already resident in you, you can be great. It's not an issue of God loving you. It's not an issue of God blessing somebody else, somebody more. What they have done is they have recognized the valor that's within them. There is one thing you can do, and that one thing will make you great. So Gideon says, you know, it's not my fault. It's my family's fault. You know, it's been this way forever. All my ancestors, we all lived on the wrong side of the track. And None of us had education. We live in the poor area. We have no wealth. We have no influence. We live meagerly. We're nobodies. And I'm the least. We're all weak, but I'm the least of the weak. I'm worthless. My own family doesn't even recognize my worth. My own family puts me down, says I'm no good. My own family does that. Now, what I want us to see is, I think, one of the biggest things that any of us can learn about self-worth. See, Gideon allowed his low self-worth to become an excuse for him not becoming great. Gideon allowed his low self-worth to become his excuse for not doing what he had the potential to do. It was amazing to me as I began to meditate on that thought. Everybody that I know who struggles with low self-worth, 99% of them come from a dysfunctional family. And they blame, and it becomes an excuse. I'm trying to say this well. You see, you look at it, and if you have a functional family, you are blessed. If you came from a functional family, you don't realize how blessed you are. You will never struggle with the things that people who come from a dysfunctional family struggle in. You'll never understand it, because you'll never have to deal with that. But when I watch people, and I know people who come, who struggle with their self-worth, it relates usually back to family. Maybe you're right, Gideon. I'm sure they didn't see your worth. But listen, Gideon, that doesn't mean it's not there. Gideon, because they didn't recognize and see your worth does not mean God didn't give it to you. You just haven't discovered your valor. And some of us, you know, we talked about this. Maybe you had a bad mom. Maybe you had a bad dad. That's going to affect your life. We've discussed that. Maybe you did come from a dysfunctional home. Maybe you were, as a child, abused. Maybe you were sexually abused. Maybe you were mentally abused. Maybe you were abused in mental ways or emotional ways. Maybe you were that, have done that to you. But here's what I want you to hear me say. And this is the best thing I can say to you right now in this position is, please, please, please don't allow that to become an excuse for you and rob you of your potential. Don't allow that to flush your greatness. Don't allow that. Because you were, it doesn't have to stop you. You can go on because there is greatness inside of you. I want to tell you about a woman who really struggled with self-worth. I'll read to you her own writing, what she said about her struggle. She says this: I was sexually, mentally, emotionally, and verbally abused by my father as far back as I can remember until I left home at the age of 18. He did many terrible things, some which are too distasteful for me to talk about publicly. I was so profoundly ashamed because of this. I was ashamed of me, and I was ashamed of my father and what he did. What I learned about love was actually perversion. My father told me that what he did to me was special and because he loved me. And then she moves on. But God always, always had a plan for my life. And he has redeemed me. He has taken what Satan meant for harm and turned it into something good. He has taken away my shame and given me a double reward. A what reward? A double reward. Now you add to that that her mother was aware that this sexual abuse was taking place. Her mother actually walked in, caught her husband, the girl's father, sexually abusing her, turned around and walked out, stayed gone a while, come back and acted like nothing happened. Now, when your father's doing that to you and your mother's allowing it, that's gonna affect you. She was there until she was 18 years old. She stayed at home. Then she went out and she got away from the home and she married the first person who showed her attention, which is the normal. When somebody comes from some situation like this, some sort of a dysfunctional family, when somebody, some individual, this is especially true with girls and women, the first person that shows them some attention, some love, they go with them. And just like what happens to this woman who became pregnant and then he left her, is usually what happens to you. First marriage failed. She marries again, and it begins really rocky. It was a rough beginning with her marriage, and she says it was her fault. It was because she was so full of self-pity that she verbally abused her husband, that she was so depressed, that she was so bitter. She admitted it. He said, listen, I love you, but I can't live with you like this. Also, she suffered a miscarriage. That hurts. She had breast cancer, a breast cancer survivor. She struggled with self-worth. The person I'm speaking about is Joyce Meyer, who now has one of the greatest ministries in the world. It's a multi-million dollar ministry. And every single day, it touches thousands and thousands of people. Joyce is great. Here's an excerpt from her biography. Joyce and her husband, Dave, have been married for over 40 years. And they are the parents of four grown children. Dave and Joyce Meyer make their home in St. Louis, Missouri. All four of Joyce's children are involved in some facet of Christian ministry. Now, Joyce was struggling with self-worth. She felt worthless. She was like Gideon. She was in her hole, hiding from life. Couldn't hold her head up. She was ashamed. Going through life feeling worthless, of no worth, of no value to anyone. And blaming her family. And she lived like that until she accessed her valor. When she accessed her valor, not only did her life change, her family changed, her world changed. And then she was able to minister to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. She's written 70 books, over 70. I want you to know, what will change your life is when you access the valor that's within you. It's not God loves somebody else more than you. He loves you. The difference is that you need to know who you are. You're to be celebrated. You are special. Inside of you are these amazing talents, this chest full of all these assets and resources just made for you. God made them special for you. That's who you are. So, having this conversation with this angel, you know, and then here's, I want you to see. So Gideon has said, how can this happen? You know, my family's on the wrong side of the tracks. We're the least. We're the weakest. I'm the least of the least. You know. So then here's what the angel says to him. Verse 16. The Lord answered, I will be with you. Now, what did he say? I will be. Did he say, I am with you or I will be with you? I will be. I'll finish reading and I'll come back to this because I think it's vital. I will be with you and you will strike down all the Midianites together. You're going to annihilate them. You're going to wipe them out. That's what you're going to be that successful. You're going to be that great. But he says here, I will be with you, not I am with you. See, we say it like this. Well, the Lord is with us always. I think we misunderstand that. See, we really refer to that back to Matthew chapter 28, where Jesus has sent out the disciples. He says, go. I want you to go into all the world. I want you to make disciples. I want you to teach them everything I've commanded you, and I want you to baptize them. Now, go, and I will be with you always. See, what he's saying to Gideon here is, Gideon, you go. You take that step. You start working. You start going, and I will be with you. And then you will be great. You're not going to be just great sitting in this hole, Gideon. Your life isn't going to change. You're just digging in this hole and beating you out a little flour. That's not going to make you successful. That's not going to be what make you great. What's going to make you great, Gideon, is accessing the valor that's within you. Take a step, and I'll be with you. Take a step, and we'll get this thing going. And I really want you to understand, it's a promise from God. If you will get going, if you will go, He will be with you. And greatness will come out of you. You will do, you will accomplish, you will achieve something great. And the potential that is already within you can come forth. And you will change not only your life, but your world, your family, and your generations to come after you. This is what Gideon did. Gideon stepped out, the Lord was with him. He did. He took a step. He annihilated the Midianites. He annihilated the enemy. They never rose up again. And he delivered thousands and thousands of the people of God. And he was great. Same thing Joyce Meyer did. She stepped out. The Lord was with her. She did damage to the kingdom of darkness and has ministered to thousands and thousands and thousands of people. And Joyce became great. It's a promise to you. It's a promise to me. Go. Access the valor that is already inside of you. Go. Use what you've already got. And what God says is, I'll enhance that. I'll make that even better for you. And you're going to do something amazing. And you're going to do something great. Take the step. I want to end with this particular verse. It's in Philippians. Chapter 4, verse 13. I'm reading it from the King James Version because this is the version that we usually hear. It says here, I can do all things. How many things can you do? All things. What do you want to do? See, you think that's just what you want to do? No. He says, I give you the desires of your heart. What do you want to do? You can do it. He says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Now reading that from the New International Version, says, I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. Again, the strength is not muscle mass. It's not external strength. The strength that is going to do this, to cause you to do anything you want to do in your life, the strength comes from within you. It comes from your valor. It comes from that chest of valor, that all of those gifts and assets and talents that are already inside of you. When you access that, you're going to change your life. You're going to change your world. You're going to change your family. You're going to deliver untold generations that follow in you. It's that powerful. It's that much inside of you. I really believe that the Lord is going to give you opportunity, just like He did Gideon. Give you opportunity to do something great in the near future. I really believe that. And you say, yeah, sure, Delbert. That what you're talking about sounds really good, but what? But what? What is your excuse? But what? Let me tell you this. When God gives you an opportunity to do something, He doesn't do it unless He's already given you the ability to do it. When you have the opportunity to advance, it's because you have the ability to advance. God will never give you an opportunity to do anything He hasn't already given you the ability to do. I really believe that this, in the near future, that some of you who have a boss are going to be the boss. You're going to have an advancement. And don't shy down from it. Say, oh, I can't do that. No, you can't, because He's already given you the ability to do it, or He wouldn't give you the opportunity. Some of you are going to have the opportunity to start your own business. Don't back down from it. He's already given you the ability to have your own business if He's given you the opportunity to have your own business. Do it. Go for it. Some of you are going to write books. See, there's something inside of you that's great. There's something inside of you that you know that nobody else really knows, that you can express. You don't know the fulfillment that it is when you write a book. He's not going to give you the opportunity to write a book unless He's already given you the ability to write a book and the information that should go into the book. Some of you are going to have the opportunity to expand your education. You're going to get your a better education, which will set you up for something in the future to advance and do great. There's something out there for you to do and be great at doing. And you need an education. You need more education. God's going to give you the opportunity to do that. God's going to give some of us the opportunity to speak, to teach. Don't shy down from that. You can do it because you have the ability already to do it. What we can do, what you can do, is endless. It is limitless. It is limitless, the ability. The only thing that limits us is we don't tap into our valor. We don't tap into the resources that God has already given us. Instead of you being amazed at other people are going to be amazed at you. Don't go through life intimidated. Don't go through life feeling you're inferior. Don't feel insecure because somebody else has gifts. You've got your gifts. And your gifts are just as great as their gifts. You just need to tap into them. You are bright. Listen, let me tell you something. When you're not here, I miss you. You bring something into this room every Sunday that's not here if you're not. You are bright. You are attractive. Christ is in you. He's attracting people to you. You do have talents. You're full of them. You can do something better than anyone else in this room can do it. You do have strength. The strength that comes from within. We just read the scripture. You can do anything you want to do because He's already strengthened you. Listen, you're not second class. You are first class. You're a child of the one true King. You're a child of God. You are first class person. And He has deposited the same things inside of you that He's deposited in others. Special gifts, special talents, special abilities. They are resident inside of you. It's your valor. You're a mighty man of valor. You're a mighty woman of valor. You do have assets, and they're your assets, and they will be with you the rest of your days. Nobody can take them away from you. They're yours. That's what's going to take you out and take you on, make you great. You have assets. Listen, it is good to celebrate the success and the achievements of others, but you are to be celebrated. It's great, it's wonderful to acknowledge and recognize the greatness of others. But every single one of us needs to be able to say, I am great too. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Lord, I pray that we've said something that's going to uncover this self-worth issue. And the Lord, we can see that we're not worthless. We are of value. Father, I pray that each one of us can see the amazing resources that are within us. That we are overcomers. And we can be overcomers. That we are worth so much. That we have so much strength. Father, I pray that we see that we're the force in this earth, in this planet. And that we see how vital we are in the pure power we have, the virtue that you've given to us. Father, I pray we walk out of here feeling, well, you know what? I think I can do it. I think I will try it. I'm going to step out because I know you're going to be with me. So, Father, I ask you to bless us now in Jesus' name.